John chapter 1, I want us to look at this. We'll go ahead and put the screen, the slide up for tonight, if that's okay. I want to talk about the subject of shipping and receiving. Shipping and receiving, it's a very common concept in society today. In America, we live this way more than we realize. I would assume the first place everybody's mind goes to when I mention shipping and receiving is Amazon, right? I looked up some videos. I almost played them tonight, but for sake of time, I was like, you know. But there's some hilarious videos out there, I don't know if you've seen, of package delivery guys, whether it's UPS or Amazon guys or whatever. They walk into the porch with a package, and they trip and fall on something that someone left in the yard, so they can just get mad and chuck the package to the front door, and, of course, probably ends up breaking something. And with all these doorbell cams nowadays, you got to be careful. My daughters are learning that in their cleaning business. They have to. They get feedback sometimes when they decide to dance on people's front yards and all that stuff. And so they got to be careful because there's cameras everywhere now. You have to behave no matter what, right? We should behave because God is watching, right? But it's amazing how the accountability of human cameras helps us all to behave as much as well. But think about this also. When you go into a restaurant and you sit down at the table, you are going to receive a meal and someone's going to ship it to you. The concept is still there. They're going to take your order, and they're going to try to do the best service that you possibly can. And if you are a satisfied receiver, you're going to take care of the shipper, right? And we live by that concept. Well, the same thing applies in Christianity when it's all said and done. We are shipping something. God shipped his son to this earth, and thank God we receive him, and we're going to go to heaven someday. And it's amazing how many people do reject that gift of salvation. Tomorrow is the first day of June, hard to believe, and we all know what June, the month, is a celebration of in society today. And may I remind you that it is still a sin in the Bible to go against the biblical definition or the biblical terms of marriage. And I don't care what anybody says. That's what the Bible says, right? Now, every time I say that, I will also follow it up with this statement. Just like I always say when John chapter 8, when the woman was caught in the very act of adultery, where was the man, right? Why did she get in trouble and the man get off scot-free? Because the Bible says she was caught in the very act. How about this too? There's a whole lot more fornicating and adultery and pornography and cheating on spouses and all that stuff going on in the heterosexual sinful world than there is in the homosexual sinful world. And so God is against both sin participations and all that, right? And we need a more moral society, a pure society, now more than ever. Young men, young ladies, and even married people. Sometimes a teenager will ask me, boy, when you get married, does it get easier? No, you have to still have the discipline to stay pure and faithful to your spouse in this generation in which we live. Now, having said that, though, here's what happens when Christians try to stand for the truth. They get labeled judgmental. All right, that's the buzz phrase of today. People will say, you're judging me, right? All right, that's what people say today. And it seems like that phrase has had more success than it should. Because it seems like Christians, and if they hear that phrase, they back down and get afraid, and they won't. Then they feel like, well, I better not share the truth anymore. I better not be presenting this gospel anymore. So let me help you with that tonight, okay? Look in John chapter 1 again in verse number 10. Let me give you a couple thoughts, and then I'll be done. Look at verse number 10. Jesus, he was in the where? He was in the where? Where was Jesus? In the world. God, the perfect, pure Son of God, is in the world. By the way, the world was made by him, all right? But then the Bible says, and the world knew him not. Now, we understand that he was in the world. He's talking about being amongst the people. And then the Bible reminds us that he created the world, the tangible world, this planet Earth. But then it says the world knew him not. We know that the creation, as far as outside of human beings, they don't have a problem with God. They obey God a whole lot better than mankind does. The animals do, the grass does, the leaves do, the winds and the waves, the weather, they obey God a whole lot better than his most prized creation, correct? We all know that. I mean, that's a known thing, but Jesus is in the world, okay? Verse 11, he came unto his own, talking about the nation of Israel, and his own received him not. And as you go on down the passage, you see again the concept of grace and truth. So let me go ahead and say this statement first of all right off the bat, okay? The reason why the world says Christians are judgmental is because of the spirit in which we have presented things through the years. There's no doubt about that, okay? If an Amazon man chucks a package at my door, I'm not going to be too happy about that, right? The other Sunday morning, we had a great discussion in the Sunday school class with the teenagers about the power of a mirror, right? The mirror, when you look in the mirror in the morning, I mentioned it briefly on Sunday morning, but I'll go ahead and take some time to talk about it again. When you look in the mirror in the morning, the mirror, all the mirror does is give you a reflection of what's real and what's true in standing before yourself, right? Just like standing on a scale, all right? You don't look in the mirror and get mad at the mirror and throw a rock at it because the mirror showed you a complexion that you weren't very happy with. And what you do instead is you receive that truthful glare staring back at you, and you try to go to work on it. And thank God, as man, we don't have to do as much work. At least we don't think we have to. I don't think ladies have to work as much because by nature, women are more beautiful than men. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, men are just ugly, okay? Except Elvis, Paulette. I know Elvis, you think, is so handsome. But men are just ugly people, all right? But women are beautiful creatures. But for some reason, we got this makeup society, we got to put it on, right? How about a scale? When you get on the scale, it spits back a number you don't like. I disagree with you, scale. And the scale, what's the scale going to do? Is he going to go off and get offended and get upset and quit? Is the scale going to get mad if you call it judgmental? I don't want that number to be on there when I stand on the scale. It's supposed to be lower. Why is that number so high? All the scale did was report what was standing upon it. And now they have these new speaking scales that'll say, please, one at a time. Those are not funny at all, okay? Those are not funny at all. Okay, stay with me now. I'm going somewhere with this. So a mirror just tells you the truth. The scale is just telling you the truth. Now, I want you to understand something. When a package is delivered to my house, when a steak is put on my table at a restaurant, the problem is never with the steak or the package. The steak or the package themselves, they're not really responsible for what's going to happen after that. Any type of a pleasure or enjoyment or any type of negativity and a bad response is going to come as a result of the interactions between the shipper and the receiver. Okay, you understand that? So the gospel in and of itself simply means good news. The gospel in and of itself should never offend anybody. It really shouldn't when you think about it. By just the true purity of what the gospel represents. Remember, the gospel is what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. I like to add the fourth one. According to the scriptures of Jesus Christ. All right, 1 Corinthians 15 specifically defines it for us. The gospel means what? Good news or glad tidings, right? Okay, some of y'all are sleeping on me tonight. The gospel means what? Good news. Most people like good news. I mean, sometimes somebody comes up to you at work or even a family member say, I got good news or bad news, right? The other night, I was not feeling very spiritual, and my wife informed me, and it was the night before the funeral, that our refrigerator and freezer weren't working, and it was only a year old. And I got very upset, and I took it out on the refrigerator and the freezer for a little while. And we found out later that one of my nephews crawled up underneath there and turned the whole system off. So it was not the refrigerator or the freezer's problem. And you know what I learned? The refrigerator and freezer was never offended that I got upset at it. It didn't even care. It's an inanimate object. However, because something like that, which is inanimate, caused some kind of an emotional response from me, right? And it was foolish of me. I was wrong to respond in such a way that I actually got mad at the refrigerator and the freezer. If there is a real live refrigerator and a freezer out there, I'm sure it was laughing at my behavior that night. Right? Here's what Jesus did when he came to this earth, okay? When he came to this earth, he taught us that there is a balance as far as grace and truth and being masterful in how we present the truth to society. So, in life, and many times we are the shipper, and many times we are the receiver. Birthday parties, anniversary gifts. You ship a gift to your grandchild. You are giving them a Christmas gift, and you're hoping that the recipient of that gift is very happy. I'll never forget several years ago, one of my nephews, this was a while back, we had gone through about, my mother-in-law used to get some 5 or 6 presents at Christmas, and the whole family sitting around. After about 2 or 3, he was very upset. He was crying and screaming, not happy at all with the presents that he received. I felt very bad for my mother and father. I thought the boy needed to be taken out back in the backyard. But anyway, so after the 4th present, though, he finally got something he was happy about, and it totally changed his whole complexion, and he was fired up and all excited about it. Well, my mother-in-law was shipping, and he was receiving, but just because the shipment wasn't exactly what he thought it was does not always mean that he should have responded the way he should. So first of all tonight, they do call us judgmental at times. Secondly, don't miss this statement now, sometimes they just aren't receiving it the way it's supposed to be received. Listen, Christian, now more than ever, do not be intimidated by that statement of you are being judgmental. The only time you should ever be intimidated by that statement is if you are delivering the package in a judgmental spirit. You see, the package itself is not the reason or the cause many times, but the spirit in which it is delivered. You see, the Pharisees delivered things to the common man. The Pharisees gave out the law to the common man, but their spirit was never right. They always thought they were better than everybody else. They always thought that they were more worthy of the law than the common man was. And Jesus came and became what's called a disruptor. He shocked the society of that day, because when Jesus came to this earth, he did stand for the truth. He did preach the truth. And maybe even Jesus was accused of being judgmental at times. But the only reason he would have ever been accused of being judgmental is because it was not the shipper's fault in that particular case, but the receiver, him or herself, was not ready or willing to receive what Jesus was giving to them. As I said Sunday morning, if I see a doctor and he comes in and says, "Pastor, he pats my hand and says, I really think you should probably try to lose some weight. It'll be good for your heart. It'll be good for your health. You'll sleep better." Man, he's right. I work on that, right? I get that. Okay. But if that other doctor comes in a few minutes later and says, "Hey, you morbidly obese, gross man, you need to do something about that fat. You're a fat boy," right? All of a sudden, it's like, what in the world, right? The subject is the same in those, but the spirit in which it was presented was the difference. All right? So we have two things going on here, okay? One, Christians today are supposed to stand for the truth. Two, we're praying and hoping that they receive the truth right. Don't miss this now. So when they say you're being judgmental, that church is a judgmental church, don't be intimidated by that, because a lot of times you do have to consider the source. However, when somebody says that or makes that statement, there's nothing wrong with the Christian looking in the spiritual mirror of the Word of God and making sure that our heart is in the right place as we present the truth in this society today. You see, it is my duty and responsibility to report the truth to this society, because I know what the truth has done for me. I know what the truth has done for me. You know, it's amazing how if someone loses 50 or 60 pounds in 4 or 5 months, it becomes a buzz. People talk about it. And the first question they get asked when they see somebody is like, "What? Man, what did you do? Did you cut back on your food? Did you exercise more? No, I took this magic pill and I just, there's this magic pill. There's an MLM here. Join this club and you'll lose 50 pounds too, man. You'll get more muscle." I mean, all that stuff's out there, but the power of the personal testimony, right, a lot of times is what sells the product, right? I mean, why do you think Nike pays basketball players millions of dollars just to wear a shoe so that some teenager thinks, "Wow, Michael Jordan wears his shoes, I'm going to play like him"? You know how many teenage boys have been duped by that concept all these years? You'll never play like Michael Jordan, but they keep buying his shoes because they think, "I'm going to be like Michael Jordan," right? But that concept, the power of the testimony, right? When we realize how powerful the truth changed our life, how significant the truth has been in our lives, it will automatically change our approach in the shipping of that truth. And in more instances than not, they will receive it well. Now, there'll always be those that'll say, you're being judgmental. They said it to Jesus. They said it to Paul. They said it to Peter. Maybe not in the Bible. We don't actually see that phrase. You're being judgmental. But people will say that. But just because somebody says you're being judgmental does not mean that you are being judgmental, church. It is our job to ship the truth to this world, right? Look here with me again at verse number 10. He was in the what? The world was made by him, right? And the world knew him not. So the world knew him not, all right? Then the Bible goes on and tells us here that he is going to, the world was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, the grace, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. I love the principle here. It's not half grace or half truth. It is full of grace and full of truth. That's what we are as Christians. We're supposed to emulate that and be like Jesus. John bear witness, the Bible says. Verse 16. I preached on this a few weeks ago. Fullness have all we received in grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's amazing that the truth and the law get categorized in two different compartments, so to speak, in the Bible. Now, Jesus is going to eventually stand before Pilate, and Pilate's going to say, "What is truth?" He asked the question in the very presence of Jesus. Jesus is truth. The Word of God is the truth. We understand that. So, church, this is what's very important in this day and age which we're living in. The more Bible we read, the more Bible we study, and most importantly, the more Bible we live, then paves the way for us to be good shippers to a world that still has some receivers. They'll still say you're judgmental sometimes. They'll still say I'm judgmental. They will. They said it about Jesus. They said it about the greatest Christians that have ever walked on this planet. But just because they're not willing to receive does not mean we stop distributing. We continue to distribute. We continue to tell people. But make sure our spirit is right. You see, the meditation and the acknowledgement of the power of the truth and how it saved my soul and how it set me free from sin and how it saved me from hell. And not only that, there's so many other truths in the Bible. The biblical truths of marriage, you know, the biblical truths of the home, the biblical truths of finances, the biblical truths of relationships, the biblical truths of how to carry ourselves in the society. We are supposed to be, we're a royal priesthood. We're supposed to be ready to give an answer to those that ask. We're supposed to be a light in the dark world and salt when people need some of that savor. We're supposed to make that difference. In that process, church, as we continue to ship, here's the closing thought here tonight. We must make sure we do a good job with customer service. You see, the shipping and receiving, how many use Amazon sometimes, right? Amazon. I get annoyed sometimes by them because after every time a package, now they take pictures of the package and email you the picture of the package on your front porch to make sure you know in case it gets stolen. Thank God we've never had a package stolen yet. We've had a few broken stuff, but never stolen. Don't miss this now, but there always comes an email like the day after rating their customer service. Are you happy? Were you satisfied with the product? Did it come in time? Da, da, da. You know, these big companies hire, they spend millions of dollars to have people fill out these forms and surveys and call you sometimes. And they try to get you to join their club right now. Everybody's a member of everything nowadays. I mean, everybody's a member. Stores, you put enter your number. You're a member of everything. And they'll email you and they want to know why. They always want to make sure their customer service is the best so that they can continue that relationship of shipping and receiving. Now, church, listen to me. It is very important in these last days that we represent the owner, the Savior, by having the best possible customer service we can have in the shipping and receiving of the gospel. Now, look, I'm in no way comparing the gospel distribution to Amazon or anything, because it's so far more important, so far greater. But isn't it amazing that the business world copies so many biblical principles without even realizing it? And it leads to their success. Church, meditate on what the truth has done for you. Appreciate what the truth has done for us. And then in the presentation of the Word of God, all we're doing is telling them the truth in love. And we do it right by doing it with grace and truth. Grace and truth. Head your bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well tonight.
Who I am is a mystery I can't explain, 'cause your mercy fell like healing rain and washed away my past. Who I was, all my secrets, all my hidden pain, now your grace has broken every chain and set me free at last. And who I was before doesn't matter anymore. Change my name when you called me forgiven. You changed my name when you called me redeemed. You took my shame and wrote a new beginning to the story I was living, and I'll never be the what I could be in reaching out for me. You changed my name. You changed my name. and I bear the marks your healing touch has written on my heart. With each step I take, I'm reminded of the price you gave and the living sacrifice
you paid.
You set my soul apart. My life is yours alone. You have marked me as your. Forgiven, you changed my name when you called me redeemed, and you took my shame and wrote a new beginning to the story I was living, and I'll never be the same. You saw what I could be. Reaching out for me, you changed my name. You changed my name. When you called me forgiven, you changed my name. When you called me took my shame and wrote a new beginning to the story I was living, and I'll never be the same. You saw what I could be in reaching out for me. You changed my name. You changed my name.